Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman was bringing up things from the past.
Come on, John.
Yep.
And not the dude to try to charge us to have him on the show?
One of the many, yes.
Yeah.
One of the many.
Jonah Carey.
Well, Jonah Carey, and they, well, I mean, Heyman used to get paid to go on Next Door.
Carey asked for like a $3,000 or something.
It wasn't, did he?
I'm embellishing. He asked for a lot of money.
For one hit?
For 15 minutes, he asked us for a couple $100.
Oh, really?
It was Damn. During the World Series.
Damn.
And well, I said no.
Good work if you can find it.
My guess. I don't know how I feel about that because at some point, it's like, I'm sure these guys get, there's so many radio shows now that these guys probably are just sick of it. And they're like, if someone's going to pay me, then I'll do it. If not, I don't need it.
And he wrote a lengthy text message in probably 8 seconds. So I think he had it ready on file. Like, no one can type that fast.
Yeah. I'd like to work something out.
What was your response to him?
I don't remember.
Go blank in a hat.
Let me ask my boss for $300 to join us at 8:25 to talk about the World Series for 8 minutes.
I know what my response would be.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that because.
Jonah. What name is that?
Go get him, Jonah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to him about that. Last time there was a Twitter fight, though, and we had a guy on right after it. We got shut down when I asked a question about it. Gio and Jones trivia. Do you remember this? Remember this? It was two NFL guys, and there was a Twitter beef between two of them.
Prisco one of them?
No, it was not. It was not. And we had one of the guys on, like, the next day, and I led with that question. And
was it Brinson?
No, it was not Brinson.
I remember.
You remember? You want to go with it?
JLC.
That's right. You got.
Oh, that's right. JLC and
Ian Rappaport.
Ah, oh, that's right.
Said, keep your name out. Wait, keep my name. Keep my name out your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Know you've been hanging out with the brothers when you use that one. Keep my name out your mouth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I said,
you don't know me like that.
Said, what's going on, JLC, with this? So you want to talk some football or what?
Like, oh, damn.
You want to lighten up?
Jeez. Damn. Don't get upset with us. We're on your team, JLC.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping for.
We play Quiet Riot when you come on the show.
You want to talk some football or what?
Yeah. No, we want to talk about the Twitter fight.
I kind of want to talk some football. I'd rather talk about you hating Ian Rappaport because that's interesting to me.
I don't get into Twitter fights anymore.
You don't.
I'm a better man.
How many days has it been?
The Better Man Show, baby. That's what it's about. How to wean yourself off of Twitter.
Oh, really? Is that what you're doing?
No.
I was going to say, good for you. That'd be great. I haven't seen a Trump fight for you in a long time.
Oh, no. I'm done with the Grand Bertha.
If you'd like to argue with Brian about Trump, at Jones and Famo, and we'll see how much of a better man he is. Yeah. Go after him right now at JONES.
Why are you doing this? You're not helping me become a better man.
Yes, I am, because I'm testing you. I'm testing your mettle, Jones.
No, don't test my mettle. Just watch the Better Man Show.
I want to see if you can practice what you preach.
We're here to make sports talk radio great again. Boy, yo, suckered me with that one. You damn dogs. Mikey. Happy Inauguration Day from your friends at CBS Sports Radio.
If people don't know the history of that audio, we convinced Brian that the boss asked us to read these liners on Inauguration Day.
Dog!
And he just plowed right
through. I do as I'm told. I'm a turn the page with us, Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Page with us. You actually read that. You were so angry that day you came in and read those liners like nothing. We're making sports talk radio great again.
I wasn't in my right mind. From DC to online, we have you covered at cbssportsradio.com. Hey, little Trumpkin, stop. Get sworn into the best of the best at goandjones.com/audio. Audio. Adios, Grand Bertha.
I forget Audio. How funny some of these things were.
It's not funny.
No, it was hilarious. And I thought you were going to just throw a fit. That's what I thought was going to happen. I'm not reading this stuff. Are you kidding me? Turn the page with us. And you were so nice reading those things. You even did it a second time. You're like, you know, the first time through wasn't that good. Can I do it again for you guys? And you did.
Turn the page with us, Gio and Jones, on CBS Sports Radio.
I wonder what we could have gotten away with now.
Yeah, in that state. Right. That was a rough one. Probably anything.
The White House is white again. I'm Brian Jones.
Audio. It you know, very white.
Be a listener, just like Steve Bannon.
We're here to make sports talk radio great again, only on CBS Sports Radio.
You would have read anything. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, I'm baiting. You're not taking a bait this
time. No, I'm done with you. Only on CBS Sports Radio.
You can try to get him going at Jones and Famo. See if you can do what I couldn't accomplish.
Our boy X-Ray Lenny said, Gio trying to make Brian great again. Yes, you are. Yep. No, he's trying to bring me down, Lenny.
That's right.
Not falling for it.
Oh, so basketball, still a topic, which is incredible.
Unreal.
Derrick Rose signing that one-year deal with the Cavaliers, which sparks more speculation about everything. So Derrick Rose, being the point guard that he is, having the history that he's had, signing a one-year deal with Kyrie Irving and the rumors surrounding that, people think that Derrick Rose would be the Kyrie Irving replacement. No, he could not. He's not. Listen, he had a decent year last year for the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But Derrick Rose being with the Cavaliers, that's that other playmaker that LeBron was talking about last year that they tried to get in Deron Williams.
Right.
If they end up trading away Kyrie Irving and Derrick Rose is the point guard, I know that Derrick Rose is a little bit more of a facilitator than Kyrie can be at times, but that is a massive downgrade. And I don't think that that is a stretch at all. Derrick Rose, there was a period last year where he was just a really good scorer, a really good player for the Knicks. But it would still be a massive downgrade for them if he ends up starting every day, because you also don't know what the hell is going to happen with him. This is a guy who went AWOL for a game. He's also someone with the injury history. We know all about this. So him with Kyrie on that team, that's an upgrade. There's an upgrade from last year. Him without Kyrie, huge downgrade.
Right. Yeah, you can't expect Derrick Rose to come in and post 30 or 40 points on an opponent and do it in consecutive nights. That's something Kyrie Irving is capable of doing. We've seen him do it. And so you're right. There is going to be a significant downgrade from a scoring potential. But as far as getting the ball and getting everyone else involved, he's perfect for that role. But, yeah, he's going to leave a lot to be desired in the scoring department.
So Carmelo Anthony's been rumored to go to the Rockets. I saw some tweet from a guy I'd never heard of saying that his sources said that Carmelo Anthony was going to be a member of the Rockets this week. I don't believe it, even though it was a verified account of some guy. I don't believe it. And now Oklahoma City apparently is rumored to be interested as well. So the Thunder have emerged at this point to try to get Carmelo. And I really do think that the Knicks can take advantage of this situation. I never thought that they had any sort of leverage in this, but because everybody's trying to accumulate as many stars as they can, mm-hmm. and Carmelo's one of the ones that's left that could be on the move, people are saying, well, having him is better than not having him. So even if it's not Carmelo from 10 years ago, it's still going to be better than what we have, and it's a big name. We're putting big stars together, and this is what everybody does. So the Knicks have to pit a couple teams against one another. And I like the fact now that the Thunder are involved, because we know how interested the Rockets are. This could end up being a good thing for the Knicks, and maybe they get a hell of a lot more for Carmelo Anthony than we ever thought.
So what will they get in return? And are they going to be in rebuilding mode? Or are they going to be able to get some stars, or maybe not a star as bright as a Carmelo or Paul George or Jimmy Butler, but someone that can help them be competitive this season? Or are they looking to build for down the road? Because I don't think Knicks fans want to wait till next season. They're looking at right now. They haven't had anything to really cheer for in a while other than Kristaps Porzingis. So what are you going to get in return? And can that affect change immediately?
Yeah, I think that immediately is something that would be nice, and I understand the lack of patience, but if Carmelo goes, you're getting younger, You've got expiring contracts. Mm-hmm. You got another first-round draft choice. You haven't traded any. You haven't traded away any more picks. If all those things are happening, I think Knicks fans will be happy in the short term.
Okay.
If you get Kyrie Irving, yeah, I mean that would be amazing in the short term and in the long term.
There you go again, man. Let it go.
But I do think that they'll be okay with. If Carmelo goes and they don't get an impact player right away.
If everyone feels as you feel, in which your main goal is to, all right, get rid of Carmelo Anthony. As long as he's gone, I'm happy for the short term. Now, let's develop and grow as a team moving forward. And the fact that we've gotten rid of Carmelo Anthony, that's going to help this Knicks team in the long term.
Yeah,
that's where you sit. So you're fine if there's some hurdles here and there. Long as we've gotten rid of Phil Jackson, now there's no longer Carmelo Anthony on this
the
roster.
Purge. Oh, yes, hit me with the purge. I love it. Both of them gone. Both of them gone. Oh, that would be amazing. I mean, it'd be like, you know, the lifting that backpack full of rocks off of your back and putting it down, being free, spreading your wings and flying away. That would be amazing. And just go with as many tough names to pronounce as possible. That's what I said. That's the team I want. I want Kuzminskas, Porzingis, Nalikina. I want all these guys from all these different countries. And then just have them go at it. And then they'll turn into a good team eventually. And you get a decent free agent here or there, another draft choice. Build that way. That's what you got to do.
Okay.
Not with Carmelo Anthony. Damian Lillard was on with Writer Than You last night. With Bill Ryder right here on CBS Sports Radio.
He ain't writer than me.
And he for such a nice guy, it's a very condescending name to a show. Ever notice that? Guy's a really nice guy, but he's got a very condescending tone to the show. But anyway, so Damian Lillard was saying that free agents, they owe the fans an explanation of why they're leaving. You got to communicate more with your fan base.
Well, you owe your teammates first because those are the guys that you spend the most time around, that you have relationships with, more so than anybody else. And also the fans, because they are part of your team. They're the people that come and cheer for you and support you as much as anybody. So I think those are the two groups of people that you owe the truth. You know, they deserve to know the truth and where you stand and what your plans are.
And that's a tough thing to do when you're in the process of trying to figure out where you're going. Now, once it happens, then you can be honest about why you left. But if you're someone that's in the middle of making a free agent decision, or you're someone that's in the middle of thinking about waiving a no trade clause, and you come out and say to your fans or your teammates, well, the teammates is different because that could stay behind closed doors. But if you go out and like publicly start talking about why you want out, I mean, that's easier said than done. And when is it ever confusing? Usually we all know without the player having to say it. So those are the two things that I would, my rebuttal to Damian Lillard.
And you're not obligated to go out and do that. Is it a nice gesture? You spent your entire career in one organization and then you decide to take your ball and play elsewhere. It's a nice gesture. Say, hey, thanks for the time. I've enjoyed playing here. Thanks for the support. But I'm going to go over to this other arena and organization for the time being. And so, and it's also, it's part of the business. I don't hear, you know, owners come out or GMs come out and say, well, we'll thank Homeboy for his service, but we're going to release him or we're not going to pick up his option. You never hear that. So why is the player obligated to go out and share his thoughts about a particular team when he's decided to move on?
Yeah, and it's funny because Damian Lillard has been openly campaigning for Carmelo Anthony to go to Portland, and he's saying he's got to explain
to before you leave, Carmelo, make sure.
You explain.
You want an explanation, G?
Your teammates and fans, right. I know. I mean, oh, come on. It's a nice thing to say to get people on your side, but he better hope he doesn't leave somewhere in a cloud of dust now, because then that soundbite will come back and haunt him. And it's not like Kevin Durant had to explain he did actually, I think, in the Players Tribune thing, but he had to explain why he was leaving. He was leaving because he wanted to go to a better team and win a championship.
It was obvious, wasn't it?
The guys who signed for more money, they leave because of the money.
Yeah, can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, one of those.
Only an explanation. You go on. Now, Lucky Whitehead deserves an explanation.
Here we go again with this
real
guy.
One.
Man, I tell you.
A real explanation, Cowboys. Come on. You're better than that.
whoever this person is who stole $200 from a Wawa and then convinced the cops that he was Lucky Whitehead, Cowboys wide receiver, that guy's a genius.
Yes.
Find that guy.
And those cops must be dopes. Wait, this dude plays for the Cowboys? Maybe they were Redskins fans. That's why they believed it. Conspiracy. Ah. That's it. They like Bugatti.
Redskins fans.
Like the wrong team. Yeah.
Coming up next, a bogus update and Jim Bowden on Gio and Jones. Keep it right here.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
What's the latest on designer coming on the
Come
show?
Come on, man.
You knew it was coming.
Come on,
dude. You probably tell Pete, don't play this rejoin because they're going to ask me about designer.
Tripping, man.
No, I don't care. You can play designer. Okay. They're not responding.
What?
It's amazing that they will. I mean, it's not like designer is that big.
He is.
He ain't Tiffany.
Yeah, it's a great point. We can't even get friggin' Tiffany on the air. Gonna get anybody with a song that's on a radio.
They're not responding.
Gosh.
Who was responding previously?
In regards to designer?
Oh, there's your problem.
In regards to designer, I just don't understand your question. Or other guests.
Designer.
Oh, this PR woman. I don't remember her name off the top of my head. I can look it up for you if you'd like.
We got to get some sort of musical guest on. Just anybody.
We'll get Kenny G anytime you want.
No.
Well, you're a designer, man. You tell that woman to pick up the phone, return your call. Think this
what
is.
What obscure musical guest that's gettable can we have on the show?
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis. Of Huey Lewis in the news, I want a new drug.
We need Snoop, man. Get Snoop.
Well, they said when Designer's tour was over, and it's still going on for a couple more weeks.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense.
So, I mean, that's what they originally said.
That makes sense.
All right, then. That's all you had to say, homie.
We got to make up for this drought, though. We got to do something. We got to get somebody on.
Somebody big.
Send them, even if it's not big. After this Tiffany thing, we've been reeling here.
80s pop icon Tiffany.
We had Bugatti Tiffany. Casino on earlier in the week.
That wasn't really musical.
Get Taylor Dane, man.
Taylor Dane.
What about like the fifth new kid? Danny Long?
Yeah.
There was a fifth one?
There's five, yeah.
What about one of the dudes from Flock of Seagulls? How about that?
Mm.
Boy George. Trying to think of other 80s icons. Boy George was just on Celebrity Apprentice, I believe.
Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper. Oh, yeah, she's from around here, right? Doesn't she live in New York?
I believe so.
Yeah, get her on.
Perform the best national anthem I've seen in person before a Met playoff game.
Yeah?
Just her snapping her fingers. It was amazing.
Did she sing?
Yeah. Okay. Snapping her fingers all to right. keep the beat.
Oh, I thought she just did the national anthem by snapping her fingers. Can you see
me? That's an affront to the flag and the national anthem, man.
Well, she said it. She said it's the best national anthem I've ever heard performed live. She was just her snapping her fingers.
Oh, man.
So I thought she just went up there. It's like, excuse me.
I think there's a dude that, like, paints while the anthem.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I guess snapping her fingers would at least
I've
be musical.
That. Yeah, I've
he
actually.
Paints?
Gallagher? Yeah, he paints.
It's like Gallagher, Pete.
No, he smashes watermelon.
Oh, wow.
No, the guy that. No, I've seen one of those guys. Yeah, he does a nice painting while the national anthem's going on. All right, Bogus.
Get one of the pips, man. You get one of the pips?
Not the one he slept with.
I can't believe you dummies thought they were women. You dummies.
I mean, pips.
Pips.
I know. It's. What is it, Gladys Knight and the Pips? Yeah. I just thought the Pips were like the Supremes were all women. I just thought they were all women.
That's your curveball, not ours.
Yeah. Seriously.
What?
Yeah.
No, Gladys you're the Knight only and the Pips. Two knuckleheads that thought the Pips were
that's not
women.
True.
That is true.
And you're the only two knuckleheads that believe Lucky Whitehead. <Let's
get real. laughs> I'm on that team, proudly. Speaking of which, Lucky's agent says the Cowboy receiver was not in Prince William County, Virginia in the early morning hours of June 22nd. But where was Whitehead last Thursday night when someone ruined an otherwise magical evening for
Tiffany?
Whitehead's camp says the June incident is a case of mistaken identity. I didn't steal a store.
Rob Tiffany.
I'm not just connecting dots like the journalist that I am. Whitehead's camp says the June
incident. I'm trying
incident
to help you, Lucky.
Is a case of mistaken identity.
It all came together and it was Bugatti. I ain't steal no Tiffany.
Tiffany ain't had nothing to steal. They ain't made no money since 82.
Schwartz busts in the door wearing a cape.
Don't
worry, Tiffany.
Like I'm here to save the day.
Tiffany.
Man, yeah,
through the wall.
I'll get your stuff back, Tiffany. If you buy me 5 chicken tenders.
Me and Paul Rabel.
I ain't stole no doll.
Tiffany.
Oh, lacrosse crime fighters. They're knocking out the bad guy. With their sticks. So the Whitehead camp has flight records to seem to show that Lucky was in Dallas when this incident occurred in Virginia.
You.
Whitehead did not arrive in the D.C. area until later that morning. He never knew of the summons, which explains why he missed a July 6th court date. The Cowboys, though, appear to agree with Greg and have cut Whitehead. There's a fat man dunking on our TV. And
that's our boy, Spice Adams.
There he is. Look at him. He's a social media superstar. Spice Adams.
The Broncos have signed John Elway to an extension through the 2021 season. That should make him the highest paid GM in the NFL. Andrew Luck starts Colts training camp on the PUP list as he works back from offseason shoulder surgery. And free agent QB Robert Griffin III scheduled to work out for the Chargers today. The Cavaliers yet to officially announce their signing of free agent point guard Derrick Rose, but LeBron has confirmed it with this tweet, and I quote, Rose emoji, Rose emoji, Rose emoji, Rose emoji, Rose emoji, let's rock G, end quote. What is official in Cleveland? 34-year-old Kobe Altman is the full-time GM after serving as the interim following David Griffin's ouster. It remains tight atop the AL Central this morning.
And Moose gets under it, hits it high to right. Will it carry out? Back it goes. It is gone! Back to back in the 12th.
From Mike Moustakas and Salvador Perez, that was Ryan Lefevre on Royals Radio KC. It's 6th straight win, 5-3 in 12 in Detroit to stay a game and a half behind Cleveland, who won its 4th straight, 6-2 over the Reds. KC also made a trade yesterday, getting starter Trevor Cahill and reliever Brandon Mauer in a 6-player swap with San Diego. Seattle shut out Boston 4-0. Same final, the Marlins over the Rangers in Texas. 2 homers for Giancarlo Stanton, tying him with Aaron Judge for the MLB lead with 32 long balls. The Astros thumped the Phillies 13-4. Arizona hammered Atlanta 10-2, and the Cardinals down the Rockies 8-2. And the Dodgers snuck past the Twins 6-4, and Cody Bellinger's 3-run shot bottom 8 hours after Clayton Kershaw went on the DL with a lower back strain. The team has not set a timetable for his return, while Fox Sports reports Kershaw would miss 4 to 6 weeks. Guys?
All right, thanks, Bogus. Joining us right now to talk some baseball is Jim Bowden, former MLB GM and executive and now working for MLB Radio. Jim, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for joining us early in the morning. Are you and John Heyman okay after your Twitter spat, or is that something that's still hot and heavy?
Yeah, no, it was actually kind of interesting. So what happened was I was on the air Sunday morning on the front office show, and I was talking about the report that was out there by John Heyman saying that the Yankees had kicked the tires. In fact, I had credited him. I said there's a report that by John Heyman at MLB.com that that the truth was that the Yankees were working on a deal. Well, while that happened, one of the GMs texted me and said, not true, fake news, false, nothing to it, wrong. So while I'm on the air, I say on the air, you know what, this information is wrong, it's being corrected. One of the GMs just is texting me right now saying that it's fake news. And so that's what happened, and then all of a sudden he did whatever he thought he wanted to do at that point. But, you know, the way I've always viewed it and the way I've covered the game is from the GM's eyes, on behalf of the GMs. That's kind of my niche here. And so when one of them calls me and tells me something, none of them have ever lied to me since I've been doing this side of the work. And so when I got that report, that's what I did. And then he chose to respond the way he chose to respond. That's on him.
So was that your first Twitter spat?
No, shoot, no. Are you kidding? I've been on Twitter since 09, dude. No.
I was kind of with you on this one. I've kind of soured on Heyman over the years. I don't know. He just was bothering me with this whole deal. Why do you keep calling you Ralph?
Yeah, well, many years ago, it was at the trade deadline, and my account was hacked. My Twitter account was hacked.
Okay.
Before we figured out how to fix those things so that people can't hack it. I was hacked, and the person that hacked it, I guess, was Ralph. And so it came out there. So ever since then, I was nicknamed Ralph.
Oh, okay. I got
Ralph says so-and-so is going to Boston.
Well, I have to say, Jim, it would have been a hell of a lot more interesting if John was right about this and you weren't right and the Yankees were kicking the tires on Giancarlo Stanton. What are they kicking the tires on if they're not with Stanton?
You know, I keep hearing Sonny Gray and Yonder Alonso. That's kind of been what the target is left for them. You know, Brian Cashman is usually out there thinking involved on everything. But a starting pitcher, obviously, I think is the number one priority. The problem is there's not a lot of options out there right now. I know he's kicked the tires on Yu Darvish. Verlander and Gray are the three. Alonso would be a nice fit at first base, even though they just moved Chase Headley over to first. Picked up Jonathan Cooper from Milwaukee. They're kind of platooning at first while Todd Frazier takes over third. But if they could find a way to get both Sonny Gray and Yonder Alonso, I think that certainly would fill two big needs in one quick swoop. So I think that's the one that makes the most sense. But I don't think there's any doubt. Anyone that watches the Yankees knows the number one need is getting number two type starting pitcher.
Yeah, that is true. Now, here's the conundrum, because the Yankees have changed their approach the last couple of years, especially last year. They've been building through their farm system, and they've got a pretty stellar farm system, and they just made a trade and gave up an outfielder, a couple outfielders. Now, they still have plenty left down in Scranton and elsewhere in Trenton. So do you continue with the build through our farm system, or do you jettison some of those guys to bring in a vet and bring in that starting pitching?
Both is the answer. That's what Brian Cashman tells me all the time. They're working on both. You know, what they liked about the deal with the White Sox you're referring to, and it was painful to trade Blake Rutherford, first-round pick a year ago. He's only 20 years old, left-handed hitter. But the fact of the matter is, when you have Aaron Judge and Clint Frazier and Aaron Hicks and Gardner at the big league level, and other outfield prospects, by the way, they felt like Rutherford was the furthest away. They weren't sure how much power he was going to have. And so to be able to get two relievers the quality of Robertson and Canely, as well as a 30-home run bat with Frazier, kind of a no-brainer. At the same time, they didn't give up any of their top five elite prospects. So as they go forward, you know, when I asked Brian the question about that, you know, I get the sense that you're not going to see him trade Gleyber Torres or Clint Frazier. I get the feeling that even though James Kaprielian is coming back from Tommy John, I get the feeling he's going nowhere either. But if they can work a package, let's just say Chance Adams, Miguel Andujar, and Mateo, to be able to get Gray, Alonso, and one other, I think they're open to doing a deal like that. I mean, remember, if you keep Torres and Gregorius and Castro, well, Mateo could be a top prospect that could be available to bring back a pitcher like Sonny Gray. So one of the great things the Yankees have done is build depth in prospects so that they have multiple prospects at each position, which makes it a lot easier to make trades like this.
Yeah, and Jim, if you would walk us through the Rule 5 draft, because you have to protect these guys on the 40-man roster, if I'm correct, if they have over 4 years of service in your minor leagues, or else someone else can come and pluck them. So how arduous of a task is that, trying to protect some of this talent you've amassed, but they've got those 4 years of service? I think it used to be three, now it's 4 years of service in your minor leagues, and so you can't protect everyone.
Yeah, it's a great point. So what, in theory, let's just do it this way. When your system gets deep enough and you're past 15 really good prospects, then it becomes a problem. So you know you got your 25 guys on the 25-man roster, then the 40 roster allows you 15 more guys. However, once you have more than 15 good prospects to protect at that point, that's when it gets difficult, and that's when you tend to see GMs making 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 type of deals to get under that problem, because certainly when you build a strong system like Houston has, the Dodgers have, or the Yankees in this example has, you know, it allows you to make those multiple player prospect deals to get elite players.
Gio and Jones with Jim Bowden on CBS Sports Radio, former MLB GM, now working for MLB Radio. Do you expect the Dodgers to react to the Kershaw news, or they're just in such a good place that they're going to wait for him to come back and hope for the best?
Well, I think they were looking for a right-handed starter anyway, so I don't think that this particular injury is going to change the plan. I think the initial report back on Kershaw is it's muscular and not structural, so it doesn't look like it's a herniated disc like he went through last year. And so it's possible 3 to 4 weeks he's back on the mound. So I don't think it's going to change the plan, because I think no matter how you view this, they think he'll be ready to go for sure by the playoffs and the postseason. That being said, knowing your top three starters are left-handed with Wood and Hill joining Kershaw, you'd like to get a right-handed starter in the rotation there. You certainly have a history of injury with Rich Hill's blisters and Brandon McCarthy, who's on and off the DL as much as any player in the game right now. I think to have one more starter would make them feel more comfortable. If they're not able to accomplish that, I think you'll see them get a left-handed reliever, either Zach Britton of the Orioles or Justin Wilson of the Tigers or Brad Hand of the Padres, to try to bolster the seventh inning and shorten the game a little bit that way. But I do not think the injury to Kershaw is going to make them do a bad deal. That's not Andrew Friedman's DNA. He's not the kind of GM that's going to walk out there and trade his top prospects. The reason the Dodgers are where they are is he did not trade Corey Seager. He did not trade Cody Bellinger when they came asking. I don't see him going to change that plan. So, for an example, if I'm the Rangers and have you Darvish, I'm going to offer you Darvish for Walker Buehler in a package. I don't think there's a chance that Andrew Friedman says yes to that. I think he holds on to Buehler just like he did Seager and just like he did Bellinger. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. The good news about the Dodgers is, like the Yankees, their farm system is deep, it's loaded, and they can still make deals without trading the elite prospect in the system.
Jim, we've seen the Cubs really reemerge here since the All-Star break. They've won 8 out of the last 10. What has been the reason why?
Well, I think the Jose Quintana trade certainly changed a lot. Not only did they give him another solid star, but it changed the energy, I think, in the clubhouse immediately after that. And then all of a sudden, John Lester started throwing extremely well. He's been great since the break. Remember, this team is really underachieving. I mean, most of their hitters are hitting 260, 270. John Jay's the only hitter over 300 right now at this point. Those are statistics that are going to be waiting to be corrected here. This team is way better than the way they played. I mean, both the Cubs and Indians should run away with their divisions. It's been interesting the first half of the year. I think it's going to change in August and September. But the other thing that I think is interesting is they got Hendricks back off the DL. He pitched okay last night. So that's a positive sign for them going forward. And Theo's not done dealing. I mean, we understand that he's been on the phone with Al Avila, the GM of the Tigers, trying to work a Justin Verlander trade. So it'll be interesting to see if he goes out and gets another one. But I'm really not concerned about the Cubs. I think the fact that the entire lineup basically has slumped in the first 3 months of the season is going to be an advantage, because usually over 162 games, the baseball cards end up the way they're supposed to be. And if that's the case, the Cubs are looking forward to two really fun months.
There was a story recently that came from the Boston Red Sox charter plane where David Price got in the face of Dennis Eckersley because Eckersley does the TV post-game show and is critical of players, including Price. In your experiences, have players become more or less sensitive to criticism over the years, or is it somewhat similar in the years you've been around baseball?
Well, the criticism I've always heard. I've never not heard that. Players are sensitive. The wives listen on the radio and TV to other husbands. They get upset. So I've heard that all the time. The unprofessionalism of the confrontation between David Price and Dennis Eckersley is not something you see very often. The few times I saw it, I got rid of the player. But granted, it's a little bit different when the player doing it is making $200 million and is your star, one of your star prizes. So that makes it kind of unique. You know, hearing the story really is embarrassing for David Price. I hope there's no truth to it, but it does concern me that David Price hasn't had a press conference to say that it's not true. I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been an apology to Dennis Eckersley publicly. I'm surprised that John Farrell and Dave Dombrowski haven't gotten involved in this thing at all. I mean, this happened a month ago, and Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe did a good job of reporting on it. But if this is accurate, this is just a shame. I mean, it doesn't sound like David Price to me. I've known David Price since the day he was pitching for Vanderbilt at the University of Kentucky, and I put on my scouting report that you are. Reminds me of Andy Pettit, and I was wrong because he's going to be better than Andy Pettit over his career. But I just watching this kid, his agent Bo McKinnis is a great guy, and this does not sound like his character. But that kind of behavior is unacceptable, and I'm kind of not understanding why something hasn't been done on behalf of the Red Sox front office and David Price to apologize to Dennis Eckersley, who, no matter what you think of him, he's a really good analyst. He's very professional in what he does. He calls it the way he sees it. He gets paid to do what he's doing. It's just, I just really don't understand this whole situation at all.
Well, listen here, Ralph. David Price will not be better than Andy Pettit, okay? Andy Pettit is one of the best postseason pitchers ever, ever.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And David Price certainly has not done that yet in his career. But I say yet because we all know he's got the potential of being that. But David Price is building himself a pretty impressive career as well, just like Andy Pettit did.
On a serious note, what would be your approach with a play if they are having issues with your team's announcers or any broadcast or journalists out there? What would you tell them?
Well, I mean, the first thing is you can't have those kind of events on a team plane or a team
mm-hmm.
bus.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot happen. And you can't bully anybody, and you can't get your teammates together to bully anybody. I don't care if it's a broadcaster, a player, or a coach, a bat boy, or a hot dog vendor. That's just not, you know, acceptable. So there's, you got to have the conversation directly with a player if, in fact, this happened. When it happens away, you know, you want situations to be one-on-one. I have no problem with a player confronting an analyst at all. Do it professionally. Do it one-on-one. Let David Price sit down with Dennis Eckersley and explain to him why he doesn't like what he's been saying and why he thinks it's unfair and unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And like men, look each other in the eye and handle it. And go forward. That's the way to do it. Screaming at people to say, get the F out of here, and doing it in front of teammates who are clapping, that, you know, that's not the way I want anyone to handle it in an elementary school, a junior high, or high school, let alone a major league playing.
I like Ralph again. I like him now.
That's all it took.
Yep.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the time, and really enjoyed the conversation. We appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Jim Bowden, analyst and host for MLB Radio, former Major League Baseball general manager, executive, and a man who's very passionate about the David Price story. How
yes, and he's right. You don't act like that. You go and you talk, come on, X, what's up, dog? What'd I do wrong? And Eckersley handled it correctly. He even put himself in that same position when he was admonishing David Price for not covering first base. He said, I've done it.
Yeah.
So why would you have a problem with that? The guy admits he's been there where you are.
And in that Dan Shaughnessy article, Eckersley is not anytime soon going to be traveling with the team any longer because he's like, I don't need this crap.
Thank you.
These guys. Yeah. Come on. I mean, you got to be able to, if you get hired to do that job, you got to be able to do that job.
I mean, what do you expect? They're Red Sox. I mean, come on.
Coming up next.
What they do.
The Cavaliers, not the only problem for Dan Gilbert these days. We're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Dan Gilbert has a mess on his hands with the Cavaliers right now.
Mm-hmm.
He also had another PR nightmare when his company, Bedrock Detroit, Bedrock Real Estate,
yep.
their Detroit division had a billboard that said, see Detroit like we do.
Yeah.
So, interesting phrase.
Mm-hmm.
What they were trying to go for was, hey, Detroit might have a certain reputation.
Right.
We don't see it that way.
No.
It's up and coming. We are rebuilding this once great city.
This is the new Detroit.
See it like we do here at Bedrock. But the problem was they had a picture with this billboard.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the words.
Mm-mm.
They had a picture. And in the picture, lots of white people.
Yeah.
So when the city is 82% black.
What percentage?
82%.
82.
82% black.
A lot of black folk.
And then it's see Detroit like we do,
mm-hmm.
and it's all white people. What are you trying to say?
Bedrock, come on. Come on, Bedrock. You see one every now and then. It's 82% of them. Every now and then you sneak up on one, don't you? I mean, at the car wash, maybe, the gas station.
This billboard is hilarious. There's a guy who's dressed as like,
Napoleon?
Yeah, playing the trumpet. There's some other dude in a tank top.
There's a happy white woman.
A happy white woman holding a purse.
She's clutching a purse, though.
Right.
She must have saw one.
You know what she is? She's safe. And she feels safe.
She's in a safe place.
Right. Yeah. She's.
You know why. Because she saw Detroit like you do.
Yeah, see it like, not like it is.
No.
But see it like we do. Where there's
small,
when there's a bunch of white people in the street playing instruments and smiling.
They should have, Detroit done changed.
That's the way we see it. You might see it a different way, but we see it just like this.
Well, to his credit,
he Dan came out
Gilbert
and
said, we stepped in it. Yeah, we were wrong. We screwed up with this one. Yeah.
He said the dumb campaign slogan has been killed.
Yeah.
And he, although it didn't intend to create the kind of feelings it did, the slogan and statement using these graphics was tone deaf and poor taste and does not reflect a single value of philosophy we stand for at Bedrock Development.
Nope. Because we like black people. Just not in our ads.
Yeah, that should have been the
statement. We'll sell them some land, a house or two. But you can't be an advertisement.
That'd be funny if that was the statement. Sorry, we do like black people. My bad.
See Detroit? A new ad. See Detroit? We like black folk.
They should do another one where it's
just black people.
Straight black people. You know? Told you. We like them.
See how dark Detroit can be.
Yeah. Did you see... Episode 1 of Season 3 of Ballers?
I know where you're going. No, I did not. I haven't finished last year. God. I still have those 4 episodes to finish.
Oh, my God.
I know. They're in Vegas now, right?
They haven't gotten to Vegas yet, no.
Oh, they're in L.A. then.
It's a developing story.
Oh, they're still in Miami.
Yeah, Miami.
Oh, I can't believe they're leaving Miami for Vegas.
Well, they're not leaving yet. It's a developing storyline. Oh. I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to watch it, damn it.
Jeez.
Kind of busy.
Kind of, you don't do anything now this time of year.
You don't do anything.
You're not doing anything. You don't have football.
Studying.
Nothing.
Studying.
What are the past couple of months?
I'm helping the kids out.
Helping the kids out.
Yes. Charity golf tournament yesterday. Then my charity tournament is coming up.
Very, very time consuming to become a better man, I guess.
It is very time consuming. This takes work. See the better man the way we do.
Well, anyway.
Let's go to Detroit.
Omar, what's his name? Benson Miller, who plays Charles Green. He's going to join us in studio coming up in a couple weeks. That'd be cool. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.